I don't know what the heck going on with Blog Talk Radio. I'm telling you, man, boy, they had me about 38 hot here a minute ago. You know, I went from dang on Internet Explorer all the way to Safari just to get on the air. And then what I get, that nonsense right there, man. I'm telling you, I'm rolling hot right about now. But it's okay. It's okay. We are here. Woosah. It's one of the woosah moments today, y'all. That's what it is. Anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today we got another good good show for you. And we're going to be talking about feminism, man. Feminism. We kind of touched on it a little bit yesterday, but we're going to get a little deep into it. That's right. We're going to get a little deep into it today and talk about how it has affected the dating game and relationships, and actually has it ruined the way dating supposed to be. And, you know, has it caused a gender war, and has it done a lot of things, you know? Yeah. So, you know, and you know what? As doing research, I kept running across this thing called Wall of Silence. The Wall of Silence. And we're going to talk a little bit about that also. And I got a couple of clips we're going to play and discuss as well. So, man, I'm telling you, we are about ready for a show today. So I hope y'all got your cup of Joe with you, your afternoon cocktail, whatever you take to get you through the afternoon, the evening, because we're going to be getting it on here in a few minutes. I'm telling you, man. Now, if y'all want to be a part of the show, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericglasstalk@gmail.com. Or just join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on with this dang on with Blog Talk Radio, man. I tell you, they was acting kind of good for a while. Now they done gone to their normal old craziness. I don't know. All right, but anyway, it's going to be all good. All right, before we get started, let me go on and kick the rules out real fast so everybody understand what the rules are and what I do expect of you when you do call into the show. On the show, we encourage open dialogue, and we'd like to hear everyone's opinion. I mean everyone. We love to hear your opinion. We like to know what you're thinking, and we can conversate and discuss it here. However, please respect everyone's time to speak. In other words, do not talk over each other. If someone has got their mic time, rewind. If someone has their mic time, please respect their mic time, because we're going to make them respect you. So please respect them. No talking over anyone. You know, and this one I've been leaving out lately, but I got to get this in. You know, some of y'all get kind of long-winded. Some of y'all really do get long-winded. So, you know, kind of keep it short a little bit so everybody else can get their, you know, get their two cents in. Because some of y'all, man, I ain't going to lie, y'all talk so long, we forget, me and my co-hosts forget our points. So we have to go back and recheck and retry all over again. So, you know, keep it kind of low, all right? Of course, no personal attacks are allowed. You know, we are adults, and we should be able to conduct ourselves in that manner. In other words, do not attack anyone personally, anybody in their family. Do not attack any of that. We're not doing that, all right? You can attack what they say, or you can attack the subject, but do not attack anyone personally on this show. There's no N-words, there's no B-words, there's no hoes. Anything derogatory toward anyone is not allowed on the show, okay? Let's just put it that way. I'm still up in the air about this chick thing, but, you know, I'm still working with that. I know some are older than others, and that's about, they don't know any better yet, but we're going to try and work that in also. All right? And if anyone violates these guys, these rules, I would not hesitate to kick you out, put you on the sideline, talk to you in the green room, whatever. Oh, yeah, here's another one. There will be no arguing on the show. Now, if you want to argue, you can go ahead and argue, but I got a special place for those that like to argue. It's called the green room. That way you can argue until you turn blue, but the only person to be hearing is you. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, so that's what's going on. But let me bring my co-host in right now. You know, I got it kind of all jumbled up. So let me bring her in, because I know she may have something she want to add to the rules as well. So welcome there, my beautiful co-host. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Eric. I'm doing great. And no, I don't have anything to add to the rules. I'm sorry you had technical difficulties coming in, but BTR had some big problems all yesterday evening, so maybe they're still working on getting them ironed out.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I had to go from one one operating system to another. I'm like, man, come on. But it's okay. We in here, and we ready now. We ready. All right, before we go ahead and get on with the I don't know. Wait a minute. Something missing, co-host. What are we missing?
Well, we need music. I don't know if he had anything planned this is still February, so you didn't mention whether you still had anything for Black History Month or not.
Yeah, okay.
But the music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. How's the weather down there where you are? I know that what that means. How are you doing?
It's good. It's nice and bright. It's nice and sunny. I think, you know, we're getting the spring because I hear a lot of birds and so forth and so on, you know, in the last week or so that I hadn't been hearing before. So I think we've turned the corner.
All righty then. All right, JC Forever 13, let me get you straight. Everybody talks on this show, so all right, we just going to talk respectively. All right, so ain't nothing about the women get to talk and the men don't. Everybody gets to talk on my show. We just do it respectively, all right? All righty then. All right, we got you. We got you now. Don't be playing. Let's see, who do I want to tell y'all about today? I don't know, man. There's so many people out here. How about Edward Boucher, who was the son of a former slave who had moved to New Haven, Connecticut? Only three schools there accepted black students at the time, so Boucher's educational opportunities were limited. However, he managed to get admitted to Yale and became the first African-American to earn a Ph.D. and the sixth American of any race to earn one in physics. Although segregation prevented him from attaining the kind of position he should have been able to get with his outstanding credentials, six in his graduating class, he taught for 26 years at the Institute for Colored Youth, serving as an inspiration to generations of young African Americans. And that was Edward Boucher, 1852 to 1918. Nah, look at that. All right, that was your Black History moment. All right, y'all. See, I'm getting back in the groove now. I'm getting ready. All right, before we go, though, let's give a shout-out to the chat room. Cloud Nation, welcome. Divine Design. And then we got Divine Design. That sounds familiar. And then we got Enjoying Life. And then we got guests 1158, 1162, 1165, 1175, 1180. Of course, we got the cynical JC Forever 13, open mic in the house, and Yolanda Blocker has showed up in the house as well. Thank y'all for joining the show today. And of course, on the switchboards, I see you. Welcome to the show. All right. Now, with that being said, it's about that time to get some music hopping, popping up in here. And now, let me explain this. Once the music finished playing, I'm going to tell you exactly what the music director told me this music was for. All right? So don't beat me up. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your Thursday music mix. I want some.
B.I.G. Oh, God. Whoa. Okay, ain't nobody f***ing with my click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mug. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the B.I.G. Oh God. Tell a bad bitch, do whatever I say. My block behind me like I'm coming out the driveway. It's grind day from Friday to next Friday. I've been up straight for 9 days, I need a spy day. Yep. She try and give me that Wu-Tang, I might let my crew bang. My crew deeper than Wu-Tang, I'm rolling with girl, you know my crew name, you know 2 Chainz. I'm pulling up in that Bruce Wayne, but I'm the feeling. Man, they kneeling when I'm walking in the building. Freaky women, I be feeling. From the bank accounts, I'm feeling. What a feeling. No, nah, man, ain't gotta feel. Young player from the D that's killing. Okay, everything that he see for the go. Click, 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 oh God. Click, click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mama. Click, 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 click. As I look around, they don't do it like my click, 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 click. And all these bad, bad men, they want the
click, click, pick them up. You can't roll it to this one. You gotta roll. You gotta light it. You gotta puff a on this one. You can't even drink Cristal on this one. You got to drink Cristal. Try some red wine, little guy, 9-7. This is for the grown and sexy. Yeah. Can I get my grown man on for one second? I see some ladies tonight that should be hanging with Jay-Z. Jay-Z. Excuse me, miss. What's your name? Can you come hang with me? Tonight. You already know what it's hitting for. I got whatever outside and you know what I'm sitting on. 50-50 venture with them S-dots kicking off. Armadale popping now, only bringing them off. Only thing missing is a missus. You ain't even gotta do the dishes. Got two dishwashers, got one chef, one maid. All I need is a partner to play spades with the cards up. All trust. Who else you gonna run with? The truth is up. Only dudes moving units, M-Pimp Juice and us. It's the rockin' hair, Maybach outside, got rocks in air. PJs on the runway, Young got air. I don't land at an airport, I call it the clipboard. Therefore, I don't wanna hear more back and forth about who's hotter, it's Young, holla. I got my gotcha 9-7 on right now. You gotta pump it to this one. Can't roll up to this one, boy.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear, the camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know, oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, trying to cash his microphone, check 212. Wanna believe my own hype, but it's too untrue. The world brought me to my knees, what if you brung you? Did you improve on the design, did you do something new? Where you naming on the guest list, who brung you? You, the more famous person you come through. And the sexy lady next to you, you come too. And then the hitman, standing outside of heaven, waiting for God to come and get me. I'm too uncouth, unschooled to the rules, and too gumshoe. Too much of a newcomer, and too uncool. Like Shadow in the Veil, I battle with it. Well, though I need a holiday like lady who sung blue. Go back, whatever you did, you undo. Heavy as heaven, the devil on me, two tongues too.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear, the camera's here, and the microphone's, and they wanna know, oh, 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 yeah.
Sister go, sister soul, sister flow.
Can't sing me.
Y'all, that was your Thursday music mix. that was. You had Click by Kanye West. Excuse Me, Miss by Jay-Z. Superstar by Lupe Fiasco. Moulin Rouge by Christina Aguilera and her many friends she had with on that one. And, of course, Single Ladies by Beyonce. All right, so those were your styles. That was your mix for the day. Hope y'all enjoyed it because y'all know I'm bringing it tomorrow. But anyway, all right, that was all right. Okay, it's not bad. Now, I'm going to tell y'all my the music coordinator say that's on all those songs were related to things that women like to do. And, so they're always flapping off the jaws about a lot of stuff. So they say that's what the music director say that's what it's about. That's why she did it. All right. So now I'm through with all that good stuff. All right. Now, once again, welcome to the show, y'all. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Talk. You want to be a part of the show today? No problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or join me in the chat room because we have a heck of a conversation in the chat room every day. www.blogtalkradio.com. All right, Truth Will Out. What's up? All right, so now y'all, are y'all ready? Are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this knowledge that's about to be dropped on you? Are you ready? Are your ears open? Is your mind open? Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to receive this knowledge that's about to be laid on you today? Are you? That's right. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, the quote of the day from my beautiful, vivacious, intelligent co-host, Sister Ingonia.
To effectively communicate, we must realize that we are all different in the way we perceive the world and use this understanding as a guide to our communication with others. And that quote is by Tony Robbins.
Wow. To effectively communicate, we must realize that we are all different in the way we perceive. Y'all listen to that? We are all different in the way we perceive the world and use this understanding as a guide to our communication with others. Do y'all understand that? Do we, co-host, do we need to even expound on that any?
I wanted to respect the quote before I use creative license with it. I wanted to insert, use this understanding as a guide to our communication and relationships with others.
All right. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. You got that? Yeah, we got to add that in there too. Oh, Lord have mercy. But you know what? I mean, but go ahead and finish expounding on it. I know you got some more you want to add to it. I think it's kind of simple.
I thought it was appropriate because of the topic. And
right.
I think that communication is one of the most important things in relationship, whether it's a personal one-on-one relationship with a friend, a relationship with a lover or with a group and especially with people who are different. I think communication is the key. So I thought that's why I chose that particular one. And I don't really think I can add anything to it. It just makes good common sense to me.
I know, right? And you know what? But, sometimes that's our problem. You want to add more to something that's just plain and simple as it is. You know, if you just really take time to pay attention to it, you know, you don't need to add anything to it. Just adhere to it, you know, and just ride with it. That's all I'm kind of saying. That's all I'm kind of saying. You know what I mean? So, today, co-host, we are talking about feminism and dating and where we left off at yesterday. And I have some clips. I know we're going to get the conversation started with these clips because, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, if y'all wasn't here yesterday, y'all missed a dang good show. But guess what? We got another good one for you today. So with that being said, and we're going to have us some fun. Yes, we are. So are y'all ready in the chat room? Are y'all ready on the lines? Okay. Are we ready, co-host? We're going to play the first clip now for you. Should we play that first clip me and you was talking about?
Yeah, we've got a nice group in the chat room, and so I think we should go for it.
All right, y'all. All right, and this is a clip by brother, Dr. Umar Johnson, and he's talking about feminism versus womanism. Y'all take a listen because we're going to talk about this when we come back.
Well, one of the things that concerns me at present is it seems like we have a growing subset of the African female community, the sisters, who are man-haters, who have been physically abused, verbally abused, sexually abused by men, hurt, and many of them are lashing out on any man they can find. There's a growing energy out there that's very self-destructive that a lot of sisters are being influenced to join that has reduced men to nothing more, the black man to nothing more than a useless criminal who exists to hurt women. It's dangerous because a lot of the women who belong to this type of energy have daughters who they're raising to hate black men. The black feminist movement grew out of the white feminist movement, which had nothing to do with the needs of black women, but it was about a war between the white woman and the oppression she was receiving from her man. It had nothing to do with any oppression that black women were receiving from black men, because black men have never really been in a position to oppress black women except domestically as it relates to abuse and violence, which is serious. But economically, we have no control over the black woman. Educationally, we have no control over the black woman. Militaristically, we have no control over the black woman. But the white woman's lib movement used black women to bring in the numbers. See, we always get used by white liberals to increase their numbers, which gives them more power and leverage to fight for what they want. White women can't stand black women, but they will use them. And they did just that. Many of our sisters are still taking a page out of the white woman's book and attempting to use it against the black men. See, there's black feminism, which is all about hating black men, but then there's black womanism. Black womanists don't hate black men. They love them because they recognize that they're nothing without us and we're nothing without them. So a black womanist can affirm her femininity and not destroy a black man. Black feminists can't do that. The black feminist movement is a very Eurocentric, black man-hating energy. The black womanist movement is a positive, African-centered, feminine, uplifting energy. That I can approve of. See, one thing we got to understand about black women, they've been victimized by their own power. Black women are not allowed to admit that they're vulnerable. They're not allowed to admit they hurt. They're not allowed to admit I need help raising my children. They're not allowed to admit that I meet a man in my life. Everybody else can. Chinese woman can say, I want a man. White woman can say, I need help raising my children. Okay? Asian, Arab women, they can say, I'm hurting and I'm vulnerable. Because being a woman doesn't mean that you have to be weak. But at the same time, it does allow you to show your feminism. Black women ain't allowed. Black women have been socialized that they have to act like men. They got to be just as tough as the black men. They can't admit they hurt. They can't admit they sad. They can't admit that they want a man. They have to always look tough and invulnerable under all circumstances. And as a result of that, a lot of our women are suffering in silence. Chemical abuse, alcoholism, overeating, overshopping, loneliness, because they feel to admit that I'm vulnerable, to show black femininity, is to sell out the black female struggle. It's to sell out the black, strong black woman myth. And so as a result of that, too many sisters are suffering because they're afraid to admit that they hurt because they think other women will see them as weak. Very big problem we have.
Wow. Wow. Was that some strong statements, huh? Whoa. That was strong. Woo, my goodness. Oh, man. And did you, boy, I tell you, as soon as he started talking, man, the comments in the chat room just went, whoo. Man, the media just went crazy. I'm telling you. We have all kind of stuff. Some say the feminist movement in America is trying to castrate men by demanding equal authority. Let's see. Another thing says what? Women do not want. Wait, they keep jumping. Women do not want men to define who and what they are. Oh, my goodness. When women gaining their own identities as individuals is frightening to men. I mean, and that's just the first one. And I got a couple more clips that y'all really going to be crazy about. Wow. Boy, I don't know. What you think about that, co-host? What do you think about that the clip right there?
Well, before I comment on the clip, there was another comment in the chat room I thought was interesting. But you know how it moved up while you were talking? It was moving up.
Right.
It said, wow, okay, I can't find it right this minute, but it said something about, I think it was from Divine Design, something about women demanding equal authority.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting because I wish, you know, she could elaborate on that because, and I wish I could read it exactly the way she wrote it because I don't want to misrepresent her idea or his. I don't know if that's a female or a male. Okay, but anyway, if I can't find it, I'll move off of that. But, man, I wish I could find that so bad. I think Umar Johnson is a great speaker, and I think he's a passionate young man, and I think he's a sincere young man. And I'll give him 85% of what he said, but I got some issues with 15% because he made a lot of blanket statements, you know, like white women can't stand black women, but they'll use them. You know, to me that infers that black women are so weak and stupid that they can just be used by white women, which I disagree. Secondly, he made a statement about, I thought, which was stereotyping as far as overshopping and, I forget the other things that he said about black women overshopping. They're all stereotypical. So that's what I have to say for now. I probably can add some more in a few minutes.
Well, you know what, and you know, I'm glad that you did bring up the part about black women being scared of white women, and I don't think he meant it as standing face to face. I think the way he meant it was they have been duped into thinking that They have been duped into thinking that you have to be like a white woman to succeed. And is that coming out right? You know, it's not like they are scared of white women, but they have been programmed and conditioned to think that you have to look like a white woman to succeed, especially in the corporate world.
I'm sorry. I was reading Divine Design is going off in the chat room. I was reading what she was trying to listen to you at the same time.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Basically. What I'm saying is black women have been duped by the white women or society to make them believe that they have to look like white women in order to succeed in the corporate world and in normal world relationships also. So I don't think he meant it per se that they are scared per se, but they have been duped in it to where they just don't know any better. I think that's
What do you mean by duped? We've been enculturated.
We exist
in an Anglo-Saxon society. I don't like it, but that's what it is. And from the time we come out of our mother's wombs, we are enculturated. We are trained. We are brainwashed. We are shown magazines and images of somebody else's definition of beauty. And when children grow up, they want to – I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying is. So when you use terms like dupe, you know, I to me that's a put down. I don't think you intend it to be a put down, but that's how it comes off to me. And I look at it that, you know, we're all affected by the environment that we live in, okay? Black men have been duped to go into the military and lose their limbs and lives.
Wait a minute now. Go ahead.
I'm not attacking you. I'm just giving a an analogy to show my point of when you say black women are duped, it's the same thing. So you see your reaction there? Well, that's the same reaction that I have. I'm not attacking you.
Well, you know, it's like this. I'm not going back down for what I just said. Dupe. Well, let me put it this way. I'm changing the word a little bit. All right. It's a lot of black women have lost their identity and forgotten their identity because they're not being taught what their identity is in coming up, and so they just fall into the trap. Understand what I'm saying now?
I understood what you were saying the first time.
Oh, okay. All right.
We are all men and women enculturated in someone else's culture. That's all I'm saying. We're all impacted, not just women who are impacted by this society and its cultural traditions and brainwashing and so forth and so on. It's all of us have been impacted, both men and women. That's all I'm saying.
Wait a minute. I don't know about all that now, because I would say that as far as indoctrination, I don't see let's see how.
Yeah, you can't even say it, can you?
I can say it. I do not see men walking around trying to look European. You know, they got the hair braided and stuff like that, but they're not walking around trying to with long flowing hair and nails all over the place. They just being natural.
Excuse me. I don't know what planet you're on, my dear brother. But not only are black men affected, they are and went straight crazy gay. Okay, there's an epidemic, and let me tell JC forever, I'm not being defensive, I'm being passionate.
Okay, so let's get one thing clear right now. So basically what we're saying, feminism has actually caused a gender war. Can we say that?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
That feminism, whether it's Eurocentric or, you know, womanism, has called a gender war within our community.
No, I don't think so. I think men would like to see it that way, and that's my point in responding to you the way I am, to show that we're both impacted, both male and female. And men want to sit back and point the finger at women and put all the burden on women, just like they did in the Bible, and that Eve carries all the burden of all the problems on the planet. To me, that's how it feels to me, that when you sit back and say, well, women, if they wouldn't do this, and if, you know, they're trying to emulate white women and blah, blah, as some do. I'm not saying they don't, because, yes, they're impacted by all these glossy magazines and TV images and rap videos and whatever else, okay? You can even go say church. Let's take the church. All the big hats that they wear in black churches, that's not African style. That's English. Is it not? Are you there?
Now, you know what, though?
You got cut off. Wait, if you were talking, I couldn't hear anything if you were speaking.
Oh, okay. My bad. I forgot the thought now. I heard you say something about the women in the black hats and carrying on. But y'all want to get in on this?
Y'all want to get in the...
Oh, okay. What about the church?
I'm saying the fashions that they wear in the church are as well reflective of European culture. All them big hats they wear and those suits, that doesn't come from our culture. That's British. That's English. Anglo.
That come from the field workers trying to keep the sun off them while they're out there under the tree having church. That's where that come from. Now, anyway, let's go back to what we're talking about.
Don't put it all on black.
Wait a minute. See, because we still missing. See, things went crazy when Steinem because y'all know it was a black lady with a Dorothy Pittman Hughes. You know, they got together and started this thing. And from that point on, everything started going haywire. You know, it's going haywire because then women. It started off as a good thing, but eventually women decided that, look, we don't need a man no more. We don't have nothing. We don't want nothing to do with a man, most of them now. And it's shown every day. I know some of these women in my chat room have said that once or twice their own selves, that we don't need a man. I can take care of my own. And that is part of the reason why we have so many one-parent families or homes because of that. But hold on.
You are not going to sit up now and say the reason why we have one parent families is women's fault.
Now, see, I didn't say it was women's fault. I said it was the feminist movement fault. I didn't say every woman. But those out there that say, I can have a child and take care of my own, you can step, buddy. You know, I'm just saying like it is.
Don't backpedal now, Eric.
Oh, I'm not backpedaling now. I'm coming with you now. But hold on. Let me bring Joe in. Joe want to get some of this also. Oh, my goodness. I love you to life. All right, Joe. What's going on, man?
All right. Okay. So I'm not on my PC. So after hearing a bit of this conversation, I'm assuming that it's about male-female relationships. Yeah.
We talk about feminism and dating and how it affected the dating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, just to go to the very last point you two were discussing. Does the woman have not the veto power in her relationship, especially when it comes to pregnancy? Ngoni.
Yes, Joe.
Did you hear my question?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. Does the woman have veto power when it comes to the relationship, at the very least when it comes to pregnancy?
Well, I don't know. You have to define veto power. I've heard you come from this direction before, I think you're trying to get at. But
okay, veto power is the person who has the last word, has the overriding decision.
If you mean, Joe, that if a woman finds herself pregnant, she has the authority to decide whether she wants to carry the baby to term, whether she wants to give it up for adoption, or whether, unfortunately, she may want to get an abortion. Yes, if that's what you're calling veto power, yes, she does.
Okay. So if she has the veto power, then she has the responsibility. Plain and simple. End of discussion. That's what veto power does.
That's your male chauvinist point of view, and I respect that you have a right.
That is a universal point of view regarding veto power. That's why it's called veto power, meaning nobody else can override that decision.
Because you're coming from an Anglo-Saxon universal think-you-rule-the-world point of view, and everything is not universal. There are different opinions and different values and traditions. In Senegal, if a man gets a divorce, the children automatically go to the man.
I define veto power If that goes to the man, then he has the veto power. Here in America, who has the veto power?
It's not universal.
The universal definition of veto power is exactly that.
Automatically go to the male in Senegal.
Okay. Was I talking about Senegal?
I'm talking about Senegal.
Okay. Was I talking about veto power?
I already addressed that part of
no,
it.
No, no, no. Was I talking about it? And as you addressed it, does it not conform to that definition?
I will concede to respond to that if you will be willing to admit that you made a mistake when you said it was universal.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm talking about veto power. I'm not talking about the specific split-offs of the veto power. The universal definition of veto power means whoever has that power, there is nobody else that can overrule that decision.
Joe, we know things have meaning in context. And all I'm pointing out to you is, and I've already agreed to you that in regards to a woman being pregnant, yes, she does have. The decision is in her hands whether she's
okay.
going to carry the term. We already addressed that. Then we went beyond that, and now you're dancing around the issue. There, see, America's not the world. And
everybody thinks
the same way all over the world. So it's not universal.
When the definition of veto power to which you have already agreed means whoever has the last say has the veto power. Now, if a man has the last say in another country or in another world or in another dimension, that's fine. It still conforms to that definition. So here in America, not Senegal, in America, when the woman has the veto power, she has that responsibility. Yes or no?
Joe, you're not going to lock and box me into a box.
Well, then you can't have a debate. If you cannot conform to the last, least irreducible element of a debate, then you can't have it.
Love to have a conversation with you, but I'm not interested in debating with you or anyone else.
Or in the conversation. I know. You've done this about 3 or 4 times whenever somebody says, okay, and Goni, if this is what you mean, then how are you going to manifest this particular expression of yours? And you say, I don't want to talk about it. The thing is, you've already agreed to the fact that the definition is as I've already said, which means there is the end of the discussion. Simple.
All right, hold on.
You can't go beyond that.
All right, hold on, Joe. Let me bring Mr. International in and let him get some of this conversation. All right, y'all, the lines are open, 347-838-8622. Come on, ladies. I'm hearing from the men. Where the ladies at? Bring it on.
Oh, yeah. Bring your butts on the line, the fat ones, the skinny ones, all of them.
Okay.
Well, it's good to be here today. It's good to be here today. Glad that everyone could make it.
Thank you, sir.
I think we made it physically and verbally, but some of us haven't made it mentally yet.
All right.
The reason why I say that is because of a lot of what you're implying, I believe his name is Joe, a lot of what you're implying is that it's based upon an administrative decision, because when you talk about veto and veto power, you're using administrative words. And so the application for veto does not apply in relationship to a man and a woman. So that's first of all. Second of all,
a fallacious statement.
Well, it all depends on if it's relative to your
point. It doesn't depend upon anything. If somebody's saying veto
power, it's relative to
your
point.
It's called English. You don't have to take something out of one particular part of society called the corporate world in which veto power, or the legal society in which veto power is used, and say you can't be applied to a social situation. If you don't want to use the word veto power, since you're trying to get beyond this discussion by trying to use wordplay, then you can say, who has the final say? And then at that point, you can still say, end of discussion.
Okay, to make a long story short, whenever you fill out a form in the corporate world, you just have become placed under what's called administrative rules. Now, those administrative rules do not apply in your relationship with your wife, your girlfriend, or whomever it is that you choose to be in a relationship with. So those words that you're
fallacious reading one more time.
No, I'm gonna sum it up quick. Those words that you're using for administrative purposes take on a totally different meaning in the public sector and also in the private sector.
No, it doesn't.
So, no, let me finish.
It's called,
so the thing
is
when you use a word, when you
poetic
use a
license.
Word.
Have you heard of poetic license?
When you use a word, I'm going to explain that to you. When you use a word and you try to make a different definition from the original or the etymology of the word, you're talking fallacious. That's what you're doing because you're making it up as you go as a tool that's been misplaced. It hasn't been invented. It's just something out of hell. I might as well
it's
stop calling
called,
grass green
it,
and start calling grass
okay.
blue.
All right. You finished yet? Let me know.
I mean, it's wordplay.
Have you finished with that
But your words that you're using, if you really truly knew the etymology of those words, you would not use them because you sound a certain way that really I think you want to sound totally
what you want
different.
To do is dance around like Ngoni was talking about. Again.
Joe.
I haven't finished, Ngoni.
Okay, give me one second. I have a suggestion to make. When one person finishes their thought, let them tell you they finished their thought, and then you can proceed.
Go ahead, caller.
Pardon me?
I think he said, okay, go ahead, caller, I think, but you had already, and plus by me calling, I knew I had permission to do that right there, but I appreciate it being a referee in the middle of what's really a blowout. But to make a long story even shorter, Joe, all I can say is that in order for you to actually really truly know exactly what it is that you're feeling, because your words are describing something totally different, it's really for you to actually look at your history of who you are as a man, where
again,
you come from.
Again, that's fallacious. Let me know when you really finish.
Well,
because you
let me
go
finish.
On forever
let me finish.
This.
Let me finish. And once
many,
you realize who, once you realize and know who you are, then you'll have the energy to look and find out about other men and women, because your relationship, the way that you have that veto power, it doesn't apply in all relationships. That's just the one that the woman that has accepted you and your veto authority or her veto authority, and that's the word she's going to use, that's your relationship. No one can judge it and say that it's wrong. That's your choice. If it benefits you, it benefits you. But that's not something that you can try to make an ideology that everyone should follow, because then you're talking about a dictatorship, and that's not good.
Okay, let me know when you're finished.
I'm done.
All right. What you just said doesn't make sense. Here's why. You're saying that it's my particular background, it's my ideology. In America, who has the final say, the veto power, over pregnancy?
Well, obviously, that would have to be, when you're talking about pregnancy itself, you have to go ahead and look at who created the Planned Parenthood and study what's
who
called eugenics. And study eugenics.
When the woman becomes
study
pregnant.
Eugenics. It's not about who has the power. It's about who's trying to take the power. It's not about who has the power, Joe. It's about who's trying to take the power. We know that the woman has the power. We know that the man has the power. But who is it that's trying to take the power? Who's trying to steal some energy? When a man or a woman comes on with lascivious conversation because they haven't dealt with certain issues that they need to deal with, they need to sit back and listen and learn and grow so they can get and receive more power.
Completed your thought, Mr. International?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to invite Joe in to respond to you, and I'm going to ask Joe to remember the rules that Mr. Talk has given us, that we are not here to attack one another. We're here to have a conversation, a civil conversation. Joe, you're welcome to respond to Mr. International, please.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Do we have to institute the 3-minute rule?
That's cool by me.
Now, go ahead and respond. Then I'm gonna bring two new people in.
You have jumped from one discussion to another. Once you agree to that simple question, it's the end of the discussion as far as that particular discussion is concerned. Now, if you want to go to Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, that's a different discussion. When it comes to veto power, that fallacious crap that you introduced about, well, Joe, you know, because of your particular background, has nothing to do with it. In America, the legal system is set up so when the woman is pregnant, the man has no say. Now, is that yes or a no? Just a yes or a no?
No.
No. So in other words, any man who gets any woman pregnant, he can have any say whatsoever about the pregnancy, about the outcome of it, and the legal system, it will just automatically go with his particular decision.
I'm not going to say it's going to go that soon, but to answer your question, because that's a two-part question. That's not
how
just one
about
question.
Now? Stop dancing around like you're doing the two-step gotcha.
For the first part, a man has a choice to say no to the woman. But the thing is, that's all
that's
he
not
has is
the
a choice.
That's not
he doesn't
the
have
issue.
The power, but he is able to say that. Now, the thing about the legal system, if a man or a woman wants to, if that man knows that that baby is going to be his baby without a shadow of a doubt, there's forms that you can file with your local tribunals.
Answering
so you can get legal power, but it comes with, because not many men and women study this area. But what you have to do is you have to look up the tribunal in your county.
You don't know
fill out the proper
about.
Forms. That way you'll have a say in the legal decision
you
that
not
you want.
Know. Either
but
you didn't
to,
understand
but
the question,
to take
or you
power
don't know
from
talking.
A woman to do what it is that she chooses to do, no, you can't do that.
So is that a yes
all
or
right.
no? Besides all,
all right.
that, yes.
All right, hold on, gentlemen, hold on, because y'all going in circles right now. Let me bring two ladies in so they can go ahead and join this conversation. Let me bring Sister Ottawa and Maze into the conversation. Welcome, ladies.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Maze?
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. I will defer to you. You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with men always, I mean, some people say feminists. And the feminist movement is two different movements between the black woman and the feminist. And also, there's a difference between a woman raising her voice and being mad to try to get some men that's blocked out what she has to say. That's the problem. They don't listen to what she got to say. That's why she has to raise her voice in order to get their attention so he can hear what she's saying. That doesn't mean she's upset. Those that don't know anything about women might think that. But those that know who real women are, they understand. Okay.
I guess it's your turn, Ottawa.
Okay. Well, I agree with May, and I was calling to speak to feminism. Because I'm not a feminist, and I never, you know, associate myself with those women. It wasn't a movement that benefited black women. When we gravitated to it thinking that it would give us rights, at the time, the black man had the vote before the white woman, and that movement came out of that. That was their response to the black man having a vote and holding office at that time. So
women had the vote before the black man.
It's just like the civil rights movement. We have a lot of issues that have jumped on that civil rights piece. We have the gays and all of that, and the gays are there really getting a lot of power and whatnot. But it's how our whole fight has been moving in the history of America, where it is creamed out, it's just diluted, and there's no clarity to it. But what I really wanted to speak to also, the gentleman Joe, he's made some comments about veto power and whatnot, and in terms of women, the black woman was the matriarch. Royalty and wealth came through her, and yes, her decision was vital to any activity that went on. Culture, which we have been stripped of, and our image of God, has had a tremendous impact on people of color around the world. So now, here we are having the discussion about really white supremacy and how that impacts our lives, because veto power and that type of terminology really reflects the culture, the white Anglo-Saxon's culture, and dealing with people who are different than themselves.
Wow. Any rebuttals?
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Huh?
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant whether or not the so-called veto power, which people are using as a straw man right now, it comes from Asia, or if it comes from Mongolia, or if it comes from the Antarctic, or if it comes from Britain. The thing is, the question is very simple. Does any woman, regardless of race, color, and creed, have the veto power when it comes to pregnancy? Simple.
Well, people of color, black women generally don't make those types of decisions. Life is life.
Hey.
And in terms of our black men, you know, having to go through what they call it, child support or whatever that is, I think that's something that we submit to, because we can come to an agreement. But we choose to go to these government, patriarchal folks who make decisions over our lives. We can make our own decisions. And black woman cannot make a child by herself.
And can I add something on to that right there?
Yes, please.
I was listening to you, Joe, before you actually you kind of slipped something in real quick there. And you stated that we were looking at it from the point of view of an artificial or straw person. And that is not the case, because this right here is reality. This is physical and natural. And so that right there is as far as the moon is from the sun and so on, that this is a straw man's conversation. Now, if you want to get into straw men and all that kind of stuff right there, Joe, I can show you how you are the perfect straw person right now. When you should be the secured party, I can show you in every documentation you've ever signed in your life how you are a straw person. You've taken on that persona. That's why you have no rights.
All right. Hold on for a minute.
Add one thing? I want to make a quote from John Henry Clark.
Uh-huh,
he said, "What the European has forgotten and made his victims forget is that over half of human history was over before most of the people of Asia and Africa knew a European was in the world. So you can't teach us."
Wow. That's strong there. But let me play this clip, and after the clip, we'll come back and touch on that quote right there, and then we're going to talk about the clip. All right, this clip is called Wall of Silence.
Consciousness. Brothers start getting their stuff in order. A lot of these brothers start getting their records expunged, start getting their jobs, or do whatever they can to build a business, whatever, you know, get things hopping and popping. Of course, there's going to be a lot of black women looking for them, but I think at that particular time, black women are going to walk into the wall of silence. And that's what I see coming. The wall of silence.
I'm educated. I was always raised to be able to take care of myself, because if a black man didn't want me, then I would have to still be able to raise my kids or take care of myself. So that's how I was raised.
What black women don't get is that this is like the last go-around, this YouTube shit, you know, black men coming on YouTube. It's really the last go-around for black men and black women.
It's like a journey to me. I do find that I have more in common with non-black men in some cases
than black men.
Yeah.
I would never date a black woman. I would never date a black woman. I would never date a black woman.
What is the wall of silence? The wall of silence is when black men have basically, they don't talk to you. And I mean that all. If you're a black American woman, they're probably not going to want to give you the time of day. Now, that's not going to be all black men, but it's going to be a large enough number of them that it'll get your attention.
What hurts so much is that even after accomplishing all of this, black men don't want me. White men don't want me. Asian men don't want me. Latin men don't want me. And it's so discouraging.
The silence of the black man is, as I said, the worst thing that could happen to the African American female. The absolute worst thing. Because what that represents is black men basically giving up.
I'm sorry. Nobody seems to understand how hard it is. How hard it is for black women to
think it's hard and tough now, wait till the wall of silence drops in. That's not going to happen all at once, but it's going to be felt. You can definitely believe that. You wanted black men to be quiet? Oh, you're going to get quiet. You're going to get peace, and you ain't going to get them.
When black men stop talking to black women, man, the women don't realize that that is worse. That is worse than what's going on right now. The men yelling up and jumping down and screaming and saying all this stuff and black women thinking that it's bashing, they're saying it because they fucking care. They're saying it because they want the women to change. And the minute they are silenced by the women, or the minute that they walk away and silence themselves, is the minute that black women are just going to be lost. And they're going to be sitting up there painting their own realities.
You don't need a man. Your wishes have been fulfilled. You don't give a crap about him. Niggas ain't shit. Your wishes are fulfilled. It's a black man's fault. Your wishes are fulfilled. All those things that you talked about, you put on the table, you're all about, you're going to get all that stuff, but you're also going to get the fact that the black man's going to not want to talk to you or deal with you no more.
And I say that for all of my young black friends who are black girlfriends who are waiting on black men, the numbers are just such that the numbers are off. I don't know how many more black women there are than black men, but there are a lot more black women of this age group, her age group, than there are black men. They just aren't, the numbers aren't there. So
right.
That's
yeah.
What I...
Now, personally, I don't see what the tears are about. You don't need a man because you were taught to be independent, and that's exactly what you're going to be. I would have thought that calculating that result would be easy for an educated black woman. But of course, the black woman is never to blame for any of her problems, for she is the eternal victim of everyone else's prejudices and unkind opinions. Black woman, ever the victim. Your place atop the pantheon of victimhood is assured, for you are black and female, and both have become synonymous with victim, thanks to you.
He's not going to be interested in taking you behind out on dates. He's not going to be interested in looking at you for marriage. He's not going to be even trying to even deal with you whatsoever. No highs, no buys, no nothing. Black woman, you thought it was bad before? Wait till the wall of silence comes down.
All right.
Can I respond
right,
first?
Can you respond first? You're just chomping at the bit, aren't you, Maze? Go ahead, Maze. Do it.
It's like I said the other day. When she gets mad and she's going to get tired and ain't nobody else going to want him, he can still come back through the door to her.
Okay. Meaning what, Maze?
Meaning exactly what I said. Or she's going to get mad and gonna turn the other way. I mean, some of them are turning the other way now. They, like, look at Eve and Janet Jackson and all those people going the other way, still leaving him behind. They stood, fought, and will stand up and fight to the death for one of them. But they always want to put her down. But let her really, 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 really get mad. I'm
okay.
Going to be a servant for some of these men, especially
okay.
Those that think that she wants to yell and holler.
Maze, who? Okay, okay. I'm just. Who is her?
The black woman.
Okay.
She's the rule. She rules anyway. Always have in slavery. She ruled.
Mm.
But
tell
nobody
the truth.
Ever. What do you say?
I said, tell the truth, sister.
People don't really realize that she ruled, but she did rule.
Even well, with the slave master, she ruled.
Well,
she ruled
well,
in the big house and on the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if that's the case, then what happened to her rule?
She still rules if you go around
where?
One that do.
Where is she ruling at?
The slave still out there. They don't believe in the feminist way.
No, that's you not true, Mitch.
They do not
white
believe
women,
in the feminist
white
way.
White women embraced
because
feminism.
See, little that the men know, she saved him from dying through the master for some of the things that she did when she ruled. Because she ruled the master, and she saved a whole lot of black men.
Well, that's
so
great.
Talk about her
but
in that way.
That's great, Maze, but bring it to today's. Bring it
she
to society
still ruled
today.
She still ruled today.
Look at Beyonce.
What about Beyonce?
She's ruling.
Beyonce
is the
perfect example for what we don't want our black women doing, selling out to
well,
that
she,
well, you,
I mean,
you can look at Michelle
she's
Obama.
Not, ideally, she's not the person we need out in front, but it, nevertheless, we're talking about her ruling.
Well, what does that
got to
do with white women?
What is she ruling, though?
She's influencing white women, Asians, Africans, Americans, Europeans, everybody. Everybody is influenced by her.
Mm-hmm.
They dress and like her.
Can I step in before we get off? Because I think we're going in a direction right now that wall. I mean, it was a powerful. Oh, there were some powerful words in there. I'm telling you. And I don't mean to interrupt you, sister. I apologize if I insulted you by cutting you off like that. But
no,
I think
no.
what it is I think what it is when you're talking about these icons that are influencing today, it's for a different purpose, though.
Absolutely.
Back then, back in the slavery days, as a woman stated earlier, I forgot what her name is, but
Maze.
She stated Maze. I don't know how I could forget Maze because my mother's name is May.
Okay.
And so back in the day, you know, we know how the woman had to make more emotional sacrifices, a lot of physical sacrifices, before a woman being such an emotional, I don't want to use the word creature, but supreme being. I mean, they have all these different emotions, and then they're dealing with physical torture and things of this nature right here also if they refuse to, or basically if they actually indulged in what they consider to be voluntary. So, I mean, the thing is though, when you're talking about the icons of this day, they do it really so they can buy the islands, so they can buy the ships. And unless you watch what really truly what their actions are, do they donate to men and women that have the same, like, mind state that you have, that you really know for a fact that they're doing something in the world to make a difference, not just selling videos. And so it's a total difference.
And I only mentioned her name because she's somebody that everyone knows. They're buying her records. I don't buy her records. She's not anybody I appreciate. I don't appreciate her energy at the way it's put out. So I wasn't speaking in that vein, but I was saying that she has the attention of the mind of the world, and that's what I'm speaking to.
But I have a person that I can name, Oprah Winfrey. She put 400 black men through college, paid for their degree. How many
that's
black
right.
men have done that we know of? And I'm quite sure they appreciated her. So she told old 400 that she paid for that degree to pass it on and do somebody else that way. That's
well,
why
dang.
I
mean, she only worked $20 billion. I mean, really?
She didn't have to do it.
But you're right. But dang, what's she going to do? Die with it and go home with it? See?
Well, what
see?
Man did that? You had Bill Cosby.
Come on,
wait a minute.
Stop.
You got a lot of philanthropic organizations that have done it.
Say what?
They're called scholarships.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You know, and I asked this question earlier, and even from this discussion right here, you can see there is a gender war going on. Because Maze says, yes, it is. Maze, listen to you. Listen
no, I'm saying it's the one that when I listen to when I hear guys saying black women are mean and black women do this and she's not worthy. She's always been worthy. Sandra, the one that brought them out of slavery was worthy. They just don't look at them as being a queen, which she is. And always will.
All right.
Is it like Erica?
I agree with you, and I know a lot of black women that fit the description in which you're talking about, and I know that they're they're more than mentally capable. They're more than physically able. They're more than financially able to do exactly what it is that they're going to set out to do. But it is a problem when you have the men throughout the generations of slavery, et cetera, the Jim Crow, the black laws, and all these type of things right here, and not being a part of the unions and all this other kind of stuff that was white supremacy, male-dominated activities and schemes. But to make a long story short, though, you know, you have to remember that these men, and a lot of men need to realize this right here, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with a lot of those issues that really your mother, your father, your grandmother, your great-grandfather, et cetera, went through, and you have not received proper mental help for your this disability. Because any man that wants to tell a woman that she shouldn't have the power to do this, and she's this, call her out of her name, and when men start putting labels on women like that right there, other than what it is that they want to be called, which is a goddess or that supreme being, the giver of all life, and however they want to articulate it, if that's the choice that they use to make in their decisions that they have, and that's one of the choices, it should be honored. It all should be honored. And we should have our heads checked as men if we disagree when a woman says that this is who she is, this is what she has produced, and she has the proof to prove it by talking to another man. The proof is right there. It gets no quicker. It gets no sooner. That's the quickest. There's men talking on the line right now. Without a woman, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's all nice and well.
I've said that time and time again.
Then the man's got to pay for it. Oh, without a woman, you wouldn't be here. Oh, you know, you can't carry life. You don't have a womb. But when it comes to pregnancy, when it comes to the law, when it comes to taking money from a man, all of a sudden, then he becomes important because now he's got the wallet to support this goddess.
Why are they taking money from you? Who gives them the power to take money from you? You do. The woman doesn't give them power to do all these things that they're doing to you. You give them that power to do that. And that's why men and women that sit back and say, put their hand over their heart and they say the Pledge of Allegiance and everything else and never read the Constitution, never read the Magna Charta, never read any of the documentation associated with the United States of America, and then sit back and say, they're stomping on my rights. I shouldn't have to go through this, right? Yes, you should. Why? Because of your ignorance. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse, and the only law on the land is the Constitution. So that's where you should start at and break the Constitution down via the Bill of Rights and know what your rights are. And if any of those rights are trampled on, then you have a lawsuit because the government cannot implement any process that steps out of the Constitution. So stop blaming people for what you've done and get ownership. Most men don't want to do that.
So
take ownership.
What is it that men should take ownership of?
Pardon me?
What is it that men should take ownership of?
What is it that men should take ownership of?
That's what you said.
First, they should take on. First, I mean, if you want me to get down to the bottom, first of all, they should take ownership of their character and not allow another race of men and women to sit back and say, oh, I know that you were going to look at me like I was a racist because of this and because of that, and anticipate that that's what's going to happen. Check that character where you can sit back and be honest with yourself and say, if I'm a racist, if I'm prejudiced, if I don't like black people, if I don't like black women, if I don't like – be honest with yourself. That's the first part. Check your character and be honest with yourself. So
all
that
right.
When you do go approach on. Someone, then you know for a fact that you have checked yourself, you know what all of your choices are, and you're going to leave everyone else's choice alone.
All right, go on.
That's it. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
Yes, sir.
That's the answer. Okay. That's the answer to the constitutional crisis that you're probably alluding to, the Magna Carta, and all of that. Men should take ownership by recognizing the character, and that's it.
Now, as far as the Constitution, et cetera, it states very specifically that Congress only has certain limited powers. Study the Constitution to find out what Congress's limited powers are. Those limited powers are given via the Constitution. If they don't go for the states, then those powers are then given to the men and the women of the land. And so you have to know how this power via the Constitution, if that's the route you want to go. You have to know
what you brought up. You're talking
I brought up earlier also when you mentioned the word straw man conversation is what we were having earlier, and I tried to let you know that, no, this is natural conversation. And so
what you can do also, because
I know other people are listening, study what's called the Uniform Commercial Code.
The Maritime Code and all the corporations. No, I'm not talking about that. That's the thing.
Maritime is something totally different. When you talk about Maritime Code, you're just basically talking about the waterline being brought back, and then you're dealing with the Maritime flag in the course, as opposed to just the United States flag. So that's a different type of law. I'm talking about the law of civility. That's what the Uniform Commercial Code is. So learn all of these different codes. Learn what it is that these men and women have put in books and hid in these books to keep the answers from you so they can keep burning your money.
Well, Mr. International, it seems that the problem is that, and Joe is muted right now, so I'm going to open him up in all fairness so he can defend himself. It seems to me, and I'm sure he'll correct me if I'm misunderstanding where he's coming from, but it seems to me he's disgruntled about the way the state has chosen to favor women in regards to childbearing in as far as the laws are concerned when they're relating to holding men responsible for their responsibility.
I'm just saying this.
I think if that's the case, if I'm not mistaking where Joe's coming from, then since it's his cultural, his culture is in charge and created the rules, we didn't, then instead of being angry, why don't you, you know, try to change, get them to change them, Joe?
Okay.
Hmm.
Firstly, you had it about 90% correct. The fact is there isn't any kind of contract that a man or woman can make with regards to being pregnant. If a man says, hey, hon, what do you feel about abortion and pregnancy? And she says, well, I don't want to get pregnant, and if I do get pregnant, then I'll have an abortion. If she says that, it doesn't matter in a court of law, okay, because the laws are skewed so that no matter what happens, the woman has the final say, the veto power. Okay, so so within the discussion that you just had or within that particular soliloquy, you were right about 90% with that. Now, he's talking about my culture having done this. Why, if I'm mad about it, why don't I do something about it? Hey, everybody can do something about it if you want to.
Well, everybody's not complaining about it.
Men are complaining about it, not just me. The men who are considered deadbeat dads when they're not deadbeat dads are complaining about it. Also, to flip it, they're complaining about the fact that they would love to have a better relationship with their kids, but the women aren't allowing it.
But, Joe, the dad stereotype is one that was created, once again, by those people who create the laws and who run the system, who are in control and have power over others, and who are the ones that keep the system going that way. So it still goes back to the same thing.
Well, it doesn't go back strictly to the white culture because there is a black caucus and a Hispanic caucus, and there may even be an Asian caucus, but everybody's all in cahoots. And how do they?
But everybody knows that those people don't have any power. They're just there for window dressing.
Well, if they're just there for window dressing, they don't have any power for, let's say, the black community because people who have elected black people in order to have black representation. And if they're not providing black people with the true representation, then the black people should get upset over that.
Well, actually, people are not aware for the most part, but they're not getting any representation from those people either because the Congress is obligated to support the U.S. corporate structure, not the people. So, in the same boat, Joe, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I agree with you on that, okay? And that also goes against the grain of what the call is talking about. The Constitution, the Congress cannot do anything that does not abide to the Constitution. But unfortunately, the Congress, for decades, has been passing laws which do not conform to what the Constitution supposedly says.
No. This is the thing. What it is omission of words. Because when you read the codes, when you read all of the codes, The only thing that changes as they get to the statutes, et cetera, is that the omission of information in certain sentences, but they'll put that in reference at the bottom. So it's still there. It's just that you have to look for it. But it's the thing about when you're talking about child support also, and are these Caucasian entities that were created, and child support being created in roughly around the early 20s, late 30s, or somewhere around there. When you talk about child support, if you go to the child support doctrine and read that, it'll tell you the history of child support and how that was for white men that were in the war at that time, and when they would get out of the wars and they would go to different states as opposed to coming home and taking care of their children. So that was implemented for soldiers, and because black men were not considered heads of household, child support didn't apply to them then, and it still doesn't apply to them. It's just that we've been indoctrinated through a thought process to think that we need to participate in that. But we don't have to, because the law, or the public law, as it stated, it states specifically this is for white men.
So black men aren't participating in that, and they don't feel the brunt of it. I mean,
it's called voluntary. It's called innocent misrepresentation. Innocent misrepresentation in a court of law is basically you giving me some information that you told me was correct, but you had premeditative motives by giving me some misinformation, and through innocent misrepresentation, I filled out the forms and I contracted with you without full disclosure of terms and agreements. And so that's called fraud.
Ah, okay.
And so you break.
What is then your solution to a man, black man, Asian man, Hispanic man, white man, who impregnates his girlfriend or his wife, and the wife says, I want to have an abortion, or I want to give it up. And the man says, well, don't I have a say? And she says, no, the law says I have the final say. So what kind of solution do you recommend?
Well, that would be like this right here, Joe. Let's say that, okay, you get a job, and I look and I sit back and say, well, I got the same degree he has. I went to school. I graduated. So I want the same job that he has. And in regards to what that company says, I'm going to go ahead and protest that to that company, and I'm going to tell everybody that this company is unfair because they gave him the job over me. That's that mentality of if I can't play with it, then I'm going to take my ball home. If I can't go ahead and keep it nice and healthy, then I'm going to blow it up. That's that mentality. So that doesn't work.
So what then specifically, without dancing around it, are you going to give, what kind of solution are you going to give to a man who's found out that his wife or his girlfriend is pregnant and she wants to have an abortion, he doesn't, outside of this analogy that you're giving?
It's very simple. What is your decision? It's that simple. Is your decision? Ask her what is her – she has a choice, right? So what is your decision? And when she gives you what her decision is, after she gives you her decision – you sit back and you say either you want to be with this woman because of the decision she made, or you can go ahead and get away from around that woman, and you can try to find you another woman that thinks the same way you think. Because obviously you're unevenly yoked because you're supposed to be thinking
about
the same
thing. So that has nothing to do with the pregnancy, but okay.
All right, then. Very interesting. That was good. That was good. But I got one more clip I want to play, y'all, before we let everybody get out of here. And I think this is interesting one as well. It's called Feminist Social Engineering. And y'all need to listen to this one. So hold on. Here we go.
Hey, this is Statuesque One. Listen, last week I was talking to a young lady who informed me that she was a black feminist. And we were having a conversation. And I guess she was trying to recruit me. And I was trying to find out why she believed what she believed. And I said to her that all the things that black feminists were trying to attain has reached its aim. You can work, you can go to school, you can choose not to get married and survive just fine. A lot of black men are not even interested in being the head of household anymore. And according to all of your bragging, you have not only reached equality with black men, but you've surpassed them in every area. So why is there still a need for black feminism? And she said, prevention. So I said, prevention of what? And that's when she went into explaining to me the plan and told me that she preaches this plan to as many black young women and black young girls that she can. in youth groups, church groups, schools, wherever she can get a moment alone with these young women and girls. Now, I normally don't give a freak, but I'm going to add a couple of disclaimers to this video. First of all, this video is not about interracial dating or marriage or any opposition to it. These are not my philosophies, and these are not my thought. This is not my thought process. What I'm going to tell you in this video is strictly informational, and it's what I've learned about the black feminists of today and some of their philosophies, which have been told to me in some variation by several women, but I'm really going to focus on what this young lady told me during that conversation because she went into great detail. I'm going to tell you right now that this is some of the craziest bull and it's that I've heard in a long time, and it's rather disturbing. And I'm not saying that this is what all black feminists believe or even what most black feminists believe, but the fact that I heard this or some variation of it from several black feminists, I felt that I needed to share what I learned so that everyone will be aware that this is the way some of these women actually think and the danger that surrounds this way of thinking. This woman believes that black men are on a quest to gain social and economic equality with white men for the sole purpose of being in a position to oppress black women in the same way that white men have historically oppressed their women. And she also believes that black men want to convince black women that black is beautiful and get us to wear our hair in dreadlocks and afros, put us on a false pedestal to make us believe that this is beauty, when in reality it is for the purpose of making us unattractive to everyone else in the world so that we will be under his feet. She said he will then subjugate us because if we want marriage, family, or children, we will be beholden to him because we will be unattractive to everyone else. She also believes that this was the sole purpose of the civil rights movement. And she told me that feminism teaches black women that if they assist in any type of black power movement, which is led by men, which encourages black women to make themselves ugly with natural hairstyles and an organic look, which is totally different than any other woman on earth, thus alienating them from all men from other races, it will allow as well as perpetuate the black man's power and ability to further oppress them in the same way that white men have historically oppressed their women. And she said that the whole purpose of eradicating racism would be so that black men can go ahead and do this. She went on to tell me that black men are no longer a fit for the new age black woman who have discovered this and refused to become a part of it. She said black men are currently powerless, and they, meaning the black feminists, plan to keep it that way and to diminish black men even further with the help of white women, white men, and low-class black women. So I said, how are white people and so-called low-class black women going to help you do that? And that's when she went into telling me the actual plan. She said, it's easy. Black men already hate black women. And the image that the low-life black women perpetuate helps to keep that hatred going. Baby mamas, sluts, women with diseases, etc., all help to increase their disgust and hatred of black women. They have no desire, and the black feminists have no desire to help those women at all because those women are helping them, which is why they don't call out their behaviors. And they don't want me or anyone else like me calling out their behaviors either. Those women are being promoted in videos and on shows like Maury all the time. So getting black men into the arms of white women is easy, and that's part of the plan. See, because white women are almost as powerless as black men. And once they get those two together, they will eliminate the black man's power altogether and be in a position to take any power that the white women do have by marrying her men. White men are beginning to find black women more appealing because white women are busy chasing Tyrone, and black women don't even want Tyrone. She said, you know how much white men despise black men, and to have their women chasing black men makes white women much less appealing. The more black women advertise and let white men know that they are not interested in black men anymore, the more appealing they become to white men. she goes on to explain that most black women are becoming highly educated and highly successful in business and industry, while black men are still sitting on the back of the bus. If white women want that, they can have it. Sorry, I'm catching a cold. She said, what is so beautiful about this whole thing is that white men are in control of everything. They control music, movies, television, and industry, and so they can perpetuate any image of the black man that they want. So they are perpetuating the unintelligent thug, the comedic buffoon, and the black athlete in order to discourage black men from associating academia with success or wealth. It is teaching young black men and boys that the way to success is to play a sport, become some sort of hip-hop or comedic buffoon, sell drugs, and become uneducated criminals. This image is becoming more and more appealing to white women, but less and less appealing to intelligent, highly educated black women. The highly educated black man is becoming less and less attractive to everyone because he's not being promoted at all. The one black man that the educated, successful black man has to represent him, and that's President Barack Obama, is against him also and is promoting the image of the black man as a low-life, deadbeat bum. Black women have already given up on the highly educated, highly successful black man because he's always going for the white woman. And now that white women are checking for him less and less, he will exist less and less because he's not desired. In the meantime, highly educated and successful black women are becoming more and more abundant. White men are noticing this, and black women are letting them know in no uncertain terms that they are available to them, and white men are biting. Skip to the future. And this is what she said, the beauty of the whole thing really manifests itself. The uneducated ghetto black women are mating at alarming rates with uneducated poor black men. And she said that makes those women undesirable no matter how they look, no matter what they do. And they will never have to compete with those women for anything because they will be bogged down with a bunch of babies and a bunch of diseases. She said white women may slum with poor uneducated black men, but not likely. So the black race will continue with those people. So they are not destroying the black race. That's what she said. That's what she actually believes. The financially successful black male athletes, rappers, and comedic buffoons that the white women are getting with are largely unintelligent and under the complete control of white men for their livelihood. So therefore, they are powerless. Once the white women see the black women getting all of their top-tier wealthy, powerful men, and they are stuck with our useless, powerless black men, who by at that time will begin to try to oppress them also, they will begin to desert black men too. She said the appeal for black women will be that we are strong and independent, and we will not have to announce this to the white men. They will see this, and they will see that we are not needy and that we're able to take care of business. And the white women will be needy pushovers who want to be taken care of. But she said that's not even the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that all that will be left for any black man of any caliber is low-life black women, the ones that they hate, or some other low-life from a third-world country or poor white trash. And they will be practically non-existent in the scheme of society. Educated black men will be practically non-existent, and the whole thing will only take a couple of generations to accomplish. So that's the plan. So, you know, by this point, I was ready to bust this person in her mouth. If this is true, if this is what these sick, demented women actually have on their mind and actually have as a plan of what they think is going to actually work, then we need to be really thinking about what we're doing. We really need to watch who we let our daughters listen to. We need to be careful about what we let into their ear gates and what we let into our own ear gates. If this is true, then this is sick. I mean, it was more to it, but this is all I had time to tell you.
Wow. wow. And the only thing I got to say to that, we need to wake the heck up. That's what we need to do. Oh, co-host, what you think about that? What y'all think about that clip right there?
I think it's representative of the program of eugenics.
Exactly.
That's what eugenics is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's right on the back of the dollar bill. I forget which Latin phrase it is, but the English words say one people out of many. The plan is that they want to melt down, melt us down, and like South America, along with their depopulation program.
Okay, everybody there? I see. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I think that that conversation it really is truly it's a form of eugenics. That process of eugenics goes all the way back to Kemet or the sub-Saharan Africa and things like that. That same principle of clearing out and using different tactics and physical war and also psychological warfare. I mean, that's what that is. But the thing about it is that that's an opinion. That's a choice that individual can make. And so the thing is, when you do get that kind of information, then you have to know. That's why I say, you know, I don't discard any book. And the Bible has very good references in there where it states that you're supposed to know your enemy. You're supposed to know who your enemy is. If the devil is your enemy, then you're supposed to know everything about your devil, the devil, because they tell you that devil knows that book backwards and forward. When you're dealing with your enemy in these situations right here, they've done their homework. It's just that most men and women haven't done their homework, so they get surprised by these things, and before you know it, we're reacting too late.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me bring Michael in, see what he has to add to the conversation. Michael, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Todd? Do you hear any background noise?
I don't hear any, Mike.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure. Well, first of all, I wouldn't let my daughter listen to that woman if I had a daughter. She's the problem of the world. I mean, she made some good points, but her concepts, and like your gentleman said, that's a theory, not fact she's speaking. Somebody hear that and say, oh, that's right. But I have a question. Why isn't the educated black woman getting with the educated black man? I mean, she went a group. We're talking about group things today. I mean, what's the problem of that? Why isn't is the educated man scared of the educated woman? You guys are talking about feminism. Is that now that educated woman, she doesn't have shackles on her feet anymore, so she's not going to step in a relationship saying, I submit to a man. She goes to school. Her father told you, daughter, I want you to grow up, and I want you to make your own decisions. Get your own stuff first. Make sure you can stand on your feet before you get in a relationship, just like he would do his son. She gets in a relationship, and someone says, you better submit, and that man must have the last say. But what about that educated man with that educated woman? Do we want someone lower than us? Whether it's men, do these women nowadays, y'all talking about women, that's getting these educated and get shackles, do they want to switch over if they're smarter than the man? They don't want to get a man that's just intelligent than them? Is a black man scared of an intelligent black woman because they say black women talk too much? Maybe he may say something crazy out his mouth, and she say, hold up, baby, can you check yourself for a minute? But some people would talk that women are silent, shut up, stay in your place, submit. So this is a conflict and confusion. So all these scattered interactions between the black couples and the white couples, I think when we talk about education, you know, I say, and as they told me growing up, I got this from where I grew up at, from my family. You can have an educated fool. You can have someone who has no damn common sense. That's what I tell my sons. It's good to be booked, but you got to have some damn common sense because somebody will take you over and manipulate you if you don't have common sense. So all that educated. What does that mean? See, we're going into that. So who's going to love you? That man that doesn't have that degree, that gets his hands dirty and who's a mechanic, who may not speak very well, he can love a college-educated woman. If you don't speak correctly or good etiquette, people say you're not nothing. So I got to go through my speech. My question is, what about the black-educated man, black-educated woman? Can they get along?
Why can't they? Now, here's what happens with that, though, Michael. You know, in a lot of instances, it once, and it's not everyone, all right? In a lot of instances, once one makes it to the so-called pinnacle of whatever they're doing, then, you know, a lot of them say the pickings are slim then. You know, it's time to move up. I can't be associated with those type of people, you know, that they're beneath me now.
Right.
Now, and then when you get to two educated people, black people, you know, then it becomes of who's making more money. You know, so it's more competition than anything else. You know?
Yeah.
But hold on. Let me bring,
struggle.
Yeah,
right.
Let me bring but it's not right. To say it's not to say that they can't love each other, but it's just a struggle. The one got to outdo the other. Let me bring Miss Lady in. Hello, Miss Lady. How you doing today?
I'm great. I'm doing fine.
I haven't heard you in a long time.
I like what Michael was saying. That was great, Michael. I came in and heard you. You're absolutely right. It's just so multifaceted, but I believe you got to go beyond the education. You got to look at the spirit of the person. To see, that's what's going to actually be the saving grace. If you can have education, I mean, hey, Unabomber had a PhD, right? So the level of education says something. I mean, it says that you're able to, you know, think in a certain way, write in a certain way, research, you know, able to pass tests. That's what it says. It says you have discipline. You can discipline yourself enough to attend classes, to study, to give up other activities in order to accomplish a goal. That's what it says. It says you have some level of intelligence. Oh, it says nothing about character. It says nothing about spirituality. It says nothing about common sense. It says nothing about you've been had any kind of exposure outside of your academic world. And if you know how to get along with people, and if you even have self-love. So you have a lot of people with degrees, and they're right. They're educated fools. They're very foolish in terms of how they treat themselves. You know, they're substance abusers. They engage in a lot of really destructive activities. They're destructive to other people as well. However, that doesn't negate that you have uneducated people that do the same thing. So It's not about education alone. It's not about money alone. It's about who you are as a person. Have you developed yourself, you know, in all kind of ways? Have you worked on your spirituality? Do you love yourself? Are you able to love other people and have compassion for people? Have you developed some wisdom about life? Do you understand if you're not in it alone, that, you know, you being in your mind successful, and that's kind of an interesting word, because what does that really mean? I mean, really, what kills me is that people think, because, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of educated people, you can't tell them anything because they know it all, simply because they have a master's, PhD, JD, and B to put up on their wall. You can't tell them anything. And they actually, if they understood, that everybody brings something to the table. You can learn from everybody. But you can even be further along. Hey, about 10 years ago, I was watching TV, and there was a 5-year-old little girl who came up with an idea. She and her 20-year-old mom developed it. Millionaire. They have the right spirit, the right energy. They happened to run into a CEO that was head of a company. It was so interesting. Those little clock shoes that were all the rage years ago with the little holes. The little girl started making little animals and things to put up into those holes and warm the school. And the other kids liked them. She and her mom. So she gave them away to her friends. And then the whole school wanted them. So then they started selling them for a dollar or so a piece. And happened to be at Starbucks store in line with those little animals in her shoes and flowers. And a man said, "That is so interesting. What is that?" Turned out the man was an executive in the Crocs shoe company. And it was brought to me, and the woman had a beautiful spirit, the little girl had a beautiful spirit, very creative. But I'm telling you, her mother was saying, it's such a blessing, and we're so humble. She said, my daughter's future has been secure. We won't have to worry about her college education. We won't have to worry about, can we afford to buy her car when she goes to college? We won't have to worry about that. And we put her money away in a trust fund. So this is what I'm saying. We can learn from everybody, but we're too arrogant and know everything that you can't tell them that. You can't have a, even have, I mean, this is ridiculous.
All right.
So all of these know-it-alls and all of this arrogance and all this pride, all of that, you know, just counting people, is going to keep people in a certain category, and they're not going to grow in ways that will be so helpful and beneficial, not for themselves, but for a lot of the people they may not even know. And that's all
right.
I got to.
All righty. Well, thank
Eric,
you, ma'am. Yes.
I would just like to say it was nice to hear Miss Lady's voice. It's been a while. How you doing, Miss Lady?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you much. But you
all right.
I heard a little bit of what that, whoever wrote that article, and I hate to say it, but a lot of, I believe it's true. I see it happening all around me. I mean, it's true.
So you're gonna hook up with a white guy, lady?
Pardon?
Are you gonna hook up with a white guy?
A white guy talks to me all the time.
So
and
are you gonna hook up with
a white guy? It doesn't matter what I'm gonna do personally. It's just we're talking about the general discussion. And I see, and that's happening. Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you the difference that I found. Is that they're very willing to share information. They're very willing that will help financially or networking. They have no problem with that. Whereas a lot of blacks, they want to keep it to themselves because they want to be the only ones. They want to be special.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So that's what I found is if they like you, no problem. Because, see, they're secure in their position in life. They ain't tripping. They got their trust funds. They got their homes. They got the businesses. They got the money. So they're not tripping. There's no competition.
I mean, why?
With the black woman.
I mean, why?
There's no competition.
They got everything.
Between right. So that's that. So right. So if people are aware of that, then maybe they would kind of develop a little bit more wisdom on how they need to have a relationship with somebody if they want a good one.
Well, you gotta realize.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Dave in. He's been waiting. Hold on. Let me bring Dave in. He's been holding. I said, hold on. Thank you. Oh boy, I tell you, Dave. Welcome to the show.
How you doing again? I was being bad earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like to have fun too. Okay, I want to kind of comment on that. You know, the funniest thing that I look at all the time is about this, you know, these degrees and stuff, man. I started out in a trade. I was making six figures. I dated someone who had a master's degree that was only making $54,000. And, see, this is the thing. See, a lot of guys aren't going to tell a lot of black women what they make in those little petty jobs that they think we have. See, because we banking our money, we don't care nothing about a degree because we know we're making more. And then on top of that, what I did with my money, I went and I got me a degree. But I was making a lot more money, you know, before I got that. So it's all about the job that you choose. And as they said, educated fools, you know, I'm not calling her a fool or anything. But she just didn't have any common sense, you know, and she had a doggone master's degree. A master's degree don't make you no smarter than anyone else, okay, because let's say I can go get a master's degree as an engineer, okay, and then you have someone else that's a doctor, okay. Now, if we were to switch jobs, guess what, we couldn't do each other's job because we don't have that type of knowledge to do that. So a master's degree does not make anyone any smarter smarter. It only develops that brain so you can go out there and understand a little bit better, okay? So education does not make a bank account big. It's only what you know in the job that you have.
Yeah, and I just want to say something. You
okay.
Gotta look, all movements
turn the television down.
For a reason.
Someone has a television up.
Has a what?
Somebody had a television up. I could hear
it.
They turned it down. I'm sorry, Michael. What did you say?
Well, see, you have to realize, I understand you're talking about the feminist movement. I really don't want to get into what the finance is, me personally, but when I say the feminist movement, all movements factually started for a reason. And when people talk about this feminist movement, they never talk about where did this derive from. They want to talk about the races and the women, and I understand what Dave was talking about yesterday, and he is right. When they're talking about people say two family, we've always worked. I mean, and early in the 60s, women, they had to work. So I understand what you're saying. But overall, not just working, but there is a reason you cannot deny. From ancient time and sometime in our societies, there's been an imbalance between men and women. Now, I'm not talking about our role, but I'm just talking about some people say you're under than me or I'm higher than you, which is unbalanced factually. But so this is why that movement started, because someone says, hold up, I'm not being treated fairly. All movements start like that. So if we just go over this word and say, well, what brought this up about? Does the other side have a point? And people don't look like that. People want to get by. Just look at the facts of the whole situation, what led us up to this time right now.
Well, Michael,
see,
you know,
things are unbalanced.
You know, Michael, to answer your question. It started in 1920 with the ratification of the 19th Amendment extending voting rights to women under the National Women's Party, all right? And now the radical wing of the suffrage movement, who advocated passage of a constitutional amendment to make discrimination based on gender illegal. So that's where it started at.
About 1920, who just said that, Mr. Talk?
I said,
who's been going that since ancient time? That's just in America, Mr. Talk. They've been doing that since ancient time. Men and women have been fighting.
Look, was you just talking about voting?
Oh, you just talking about voting, right?
I'm trying to say who made that statement. Was it that you, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, Mr. Talk.
Okay. Well, actually, you know what? You know, you're right in some aspects there. Okay, but it started way back in 1862, actually, you know, because it started, everyone has a computer. Look the lady's name up. Her name is Alma Birdwell White, okay? It started back in 1862 with her because, you know, she formed a coalition with the KKK, and she was a feminist. See, that's where that stuff actually started at, was with her. And she did not believe in the equality of black men and black women. She believed in the inequality because she wrote a lot of, I think, three or four books that basically stated that the white Protestants were the chosen people. And she wrote books to basically say that blacks are not equal to whites. So therefore, you have to keep blacks in their place. She was not for... she was not for equality. She was against equality. She formed forces with the KKK, and that got passed all the way down. And the black feminists, they don't know that. They're actually doing something that was already set in place by a feminist, a white feminist, Protestant at that, and she formed forces with the KKK. So do you mean to tell me that feminists have something great and all for the African-American women? I don't think so. Read it. Look her name up. Alma Birdwell White.
Okay, I've heard of her. But here's the thing, though. If that's the case, then why are we embracing, are our women embracing this so? You know,
because
why?
They don't understand. They don't know the history. See, if you don't know the history of where things come from, then how can you take them any further if you're only going by what you read?
One thing. Well, can I make a little too?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to make real two quick comments. Well, first of all, to answer your question, Mr. Talk, why they're embracing it, it's about people being unbalanced. And I, like I say again, why did a movement start? Because someone's saying that in certain situations, I'm being treated unfair. But let's go through history of ancient time. Technology has always knocked women out of the workplace. If you look, let's go from ancient time, even through the crash. Who did all the weaving? Who made all the clothes? Women. Who did most of the crafts in the house before we had manufacturing? Women did the crafts. When man made technology and he said, oh, we don't have to have them weave no more, we can just put them out of business. So technology, if you have to look at everything detail, you got to pay attention to detail. Women have always worked, and when men had looked at women being crass, when men used to go to war in ancient time, guess who had to be the taverns and everything? Women had to cook the cakes, had to be bakers. Came back, man said, I can make money out of this. Let me mass produce it. Let me use my technology. Now women get back home. But most of the stuff is did women, arts and crafts and baking and sewing, that comes from women. It started in the home. Now it's mass production. That's what I want to say. That's just one aspect.
But what is your point, Michael?
It's kind of like a reverse. Yeah, black women can go and they can get all the degrees that they choose to get. Yeah, that's fine and dandy because guess what? Uncle Sam wants you to stay out there in the workforce so you can pay those taxes, while the other women of the other races, they stay at home and they become happy homemakers. Yeah, keep getting those degrees. I have no problem with a black woman getting a degree because if she don't understand why she's getting that degree, guess what? Keep on getting them. Stay out there in the workforce. Stay in the workforce, period. Get the degree, stay in the workforce because you don't understand what you're doing to yourself. And guess what? I don't have a problem with it.
So you're blaming – okay, so you're saying the workforce is destroying the home just because she's not staying home? Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. What happened was...
So what is your conclusion, sir?
I'm going to get to that. What happened was the government figured that, you know what, they need more people out there paying taxes. Now, see, with Gloria Steinem coming into the feminist movement, right, they used her because, if you know, she worked for the CIA, okay? She worked for the CIA in Europe also, okay? Now, her purpose was to get more of these women out in the workforce also, because the more people you have out in the workforce, that's just like slavery. You know, you get them in the workforce, make them work, therefore you pay more taxes. It's just like, you know, they figure that, you know, hey, get black people out here to let them vote, and then guess what? We can get their votes too. You know, It's like an add-on to a machine that they already have, and it's a machine that they have built, they have thought out. They have people who sit down, and all they do is sit down and study us, study everything we do, our spending habits, how we treat us, each other, how we talk to each other. That's all they do. And guess what? Everything that they put into plan is working. It's working because no one is opening up their mind except, let's say, Mr. Tall, you know, and his co-host. Hey, that's the beginning right there. You know, start your online radio station. Let others know what's going on out here. And until people start doing stuff like this, guess what? You're going to get left behind because that's where a lot of knowledge comes from, is from people like this who have these radio stations.
Wow.
Okay,
well,
sir,
thank you.
Hold on
a minute, Michael.
Go ahead. Real quick, Mr. Talk. Any law that has been written, sir, in any movement, it started when interactions, before the government got in it, people had a problem with each other, men and women, sir. You keep leaving it. Don't leave the problems. The reason why women had said, I want to go in school and get educated is because they were getting, something happened in our society. You sound like you wanted to be an all-male workforce. look for, sir. And I'm letting you know some women in their situations, when I raise my daughter, I want my daughter to go to college, sir. I'm not saying I don't want my daughter to raise a family. I don't want my daughter to be second to a man. Factually, there's a balance. She knows how to, she's going to get educated. So what I'm saying is, people are saying when these women get educated, they're losing their roles as a mother. I'm just saying everybody should have a balance and things of that nature. And women should be educated too, sir. But there's a reason why they wanted to go to college, and you're not saying that.
No, I said was that, you know, I don't have a problem with them going to college. See, I never said that they should not. I never said it had to be a whole male workforce. I said that yesterday. I never said that. I'm saying that if they want education, get it. And I never said that it started with the government. I said that there are things in place that they – it's like a spinning wheel. It's like a well-machined oil, that's going around and around. And these people out there, that they know what they're doing. I'm not saying that your daughter should not get an education or anything. I just stated if they want an education – go ahead and get it. I don't have a problem with that. Only thing it is just keeping them out in the workforce while the other races come back home. That's all.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Hold on. Let me bring Lisa in. She's been waiting patiently, and I know she's working. Hello, Lisa. How you doing today? Oh, as soon as I say hello, her call drops. Imagine that.
And she can't call back.
Yeah, well, she can't call back in right now. Oh, man, I tell you. Co-host, where you at? You got anything you want to add?
I'm here. Well, you know, a lot of comments have been made, and I don't know if Dave is familiar with the womanist movement. I think I heard him mention about his perspective on the feminist movement and the, you know, how that's not good for us. Is Dave still there?
Yeah, he's still here.
I'm still here. I'm just letting you talk. I was teasing you earlier. I'm sorry about that. I was just having fun with you too.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't know that was you.
Yes, ma'am.
You mean in the chat room?
Yes, ma'am. That was me.
Well, we're here to have fun.
Have most respect.
Thank you, and vice versa. I was just wondering, Dave, if you're familiar with the differences between the feminist movement and the womanist movement. Are you familiar?
Well, I've read into that. You know, the womanist movement was pretty much, you know, they were looking for more like, you know, the rights and everything, you know, that men held. But see, the thing of it is that, you know, they were looking for rights that the white male had. The black male didn't have control of anything or whatever, so they was basically competing with, you know, the white race, whether, you know, white women competing with their own men, you know, and then when the black women came in, then they started competing with their men, because it really never had anything to do with the black man, because the black man really didn't own anything or run anything.
I don't know what you read, Dave, but I put some excerpts from a page. I also put the link in the chat room that differentiates between the feminist movement and the womanist movement. And according to this writing, I'm not saying you're wrong, but according to this writing, the difference was that the womanist movement focused on the strengths and experiences of, it says, African-American women. And they push for change and put their attention on social issues. Mm-hmm. They focus on racism and class oppression as opposed to competition with men. So that's the difference according to this author.
That's really no difference in that, because if you look at it, see, that's just like you know, when they started out calling, you know, black people, you know, the N-word, then they went up to colored, and then they went up to black, then they went up to African-American. You know, feminism is the same thing. It actually changed the name. So what you're saying is actually still feminism, because, you know, they had the women's movement and they had women's liberation. Then that turned into feminism, and, you know, and now and so on and so on. So it's actually the same thing. You know, with the women's movement, they were looking for still the equal pay, domestic violence, suffrage, sexual harassment, sexual violence, reproduction rights. It was basically all the same thing. The name just changed. It was a women's movement. It was a women's liberation. It was a feminism. The feminist movement. It all lines up in basically the same area. It lines up in the same area. Yes, it does. That is true.
Dave, I don't want to, you know, mince words with you, but I respectfully disagree, because I've listened to several you know, conferences where black women were discussing the issues that they were concerned with and addressing the fact that for them, the feminist movement, they were aware that the white feminist movement did not relate to their issues in life. So I think you're failing to recognize that some women, not all, I mean, you know, that we see there's some black women who have embraced the feminist principles, but there are other black women who have analyzed and recognized the differences and spoke about it, wrote about it, and had conferences about it. So that's all I wanted to interject.
Yeah, and that's true, and I agree with you on that. And believe it or not, I actually go to quite a few women conferences, so I can kind of try to understand what they're going through. But as far as, you know, again, as far as the women's movement and so on, those the feminism is basically still the same thing. And there are people out there. I didn't say all black women. I said some. Whenever I'm speaking, it's like I'm talking about some. I'm not saying everybody. And some black women have realized that it was not for them, because there was this black feminist that did write a white feminist at their headquarters and let them know. It's online somewhere. Maybe by tomorrow I have it for you. But she wrote and she let them know that they didn't feel the support from the white feminists that they should have, and some of the things that they were doing. Actually, in Canada and some of these other places like Australia, the feminists, they started going outside, taking off their tops and things like that to prove something. And they wanted the black feminists to be a part of that. And the black feminists said no. That's where that letter was coming from. They said they wasn't about going out there taking off their top for men.
Well, one thing you said yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dave, I'm not trying to push my idea down your throat. I'm really not. But please let me just. I'm just qualifying what I'm saying before I say it, because I don't want you to think I'm coming from there. My voice is very strong and I get very passionate. A lot of times people think I'm arguing, I'm mad, and I'm not.
Be passionate. Go ahead, Cole.
You're speaking with conviction. You're speaking with conviction. They get on me too, and they're going, keep on. Do your thing.
I like it. Go ahead. Don't offend me. Go for it.
What I wanted to comment on, Dave, was that I don't hear in your responses that you are recognizing or acknowledging, and you don't have to. I think you're rejecting the idea that there is any difference between the black feminists, white feminist and womanist movement. You said you went to women's conference, but I was speaking of womanist conference. These were women coming from a whole different perspective. They were women who were analyzing and discussing and studying the fact that the white feminist movement did not apply to their lives. And they put their attention on social issues which affected their whole family, like racism and oppression. So they weren't competing with black men. They were addressing issues that affected black men, women, and children.
I didn't say we're competing. The only thing I said is basically the same thing. Now, see, they took the feminists and they took the woman's liberation, they took the women's movement, they took the feminist movement, and then they changed it into womanist.
Women did that. See, that's where we disagree. Black women changed it to the womanist move, not white women.
That's what I'm saying. Why would they have to change it?
But he said the actions are the same thing.
Okay, hold on. All right.
What I'm saying is, why would they even have to change it to a womanist movement if they are so concerned about their community, the people around, whether it be the children, the men, the women in the community, whatever. Why couldn't they come in and change it into a, well, that sounds like communist, so that wouldn't work. I mean,
could I interject?
Why couldn't it be a people's movement or something where all people, you know,
because
I mean.
Because they're discriminated because, you remember, this is the discrimination. Women, you submit to your man. That's unbalanced, and they're just being discriminated against. But, sir, I want real quick. You said that in the 60s, black women and black men, mothers and fathers, were both working. So what are you talking about now? And they say it was good back then.
And after Dave responds, I think Sister Ottawa is trying to join the conversation. So go ahead, Dave.
Oh, yeah, what I'm saying is, yeah, I said the black men and black women was out there working, so I'm trying to understand what the gentleman's question was exactly.
No, sir, you said yesterday in the 60s we didn't have to have no more because black women were already working in their families. The black man, and we had two people, two-prong households, and both of them were working. So what is the problem? And they said the families back then were more intact. So what's the problem?
They always work.
But women is always work, though.
You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it. But you
I'm sorry.
Okay. I understand. Families did work back then. What I'm saying is that we had two different things going on. We had the civil rights movement going on, where our forefathers and foremothers was out there fighting for rights to vote this, that, and the other, okay, to sit at the front of the bus, okay? Now, all of a sudden, the feminist movement came up. But we were fighting for civil rights out there, okay, but we were fighting for the civil rights of the black female and the black male, okay? So why would the female have to feel she was being threatened by the black man that's already out there fighting with her for something that they believed in, and then all of a sudden feel like we are oppressing them when we're out there right beside fighting for the same thing.
So you're moving from my point. I'm talking about working. You're talking about civil rights. I'm talking about the black male and the black female, mother and father, both of them, both parents were working, sir. Why are you moving from that point I'm trying to make?
I just explained that to
so
you.
So the only reason, okay, all right.
There was no need for a black feminist movement because we were already over there dealing with the civil rights movement. So why would they have to stop in the civil rights movement, run over there and say, hey, our men are oppressing us when they're over there working along with us, just like the Black Panthers, Huey Newton and them. They had the women in there working with them, too. It started off with three black males. Women came in, they wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to work along with their brothers. So I'm not discounting saying that, you know, hey, the feminist movement, whatever. What I'm saying is we already had issues to deal with. Why mix up with the issues that the Caucasian women had to deal with? That was not our problem.
But Dave, now Sister Ottawa wants to come in, but they didn't mix it in. They differentiated it. Okay, Sister Ottawa?
Yes. What I wanted to add was the womanist is a far older movement than just here in America. Women of color have been struggling and trying to find equity in their communities from time immemorial. So womanist goes back to Constantine, the fight that they had to maintain the mother god and child. Feminists go back to when the poachers come encroaching on their land and trying to move them away from their water stores or their food stores or stealing their babies. So the womanist movement is a far more older movement, and it speaks to the needs of women. The woman's humanity. We're connected to the water, the air, and the earth. We can't be separated from that. And so that whole struggle of womanist stems from that.
Now, that's some good history that I didn't know. Thank you, Sister Ottawa. That's great.
You know, I understand. I like I say, everybody has a point of view, and I respect that. But I'll do a little bit more research. But I still think the black feminism still had something to do with that womanness. You know, that's basically a theology. I will find it. If it's out there, I'm going to prove it. That
well,
the
brother,
black feminism still has
just,
in line
brother,
with women.
Brother Dave, it's just like I'm just using this as an analogy. Okay, things happen in, you know, it's a process, okay? Look at the
right.
Church. Have one group that doesn't agree with the dogma or the way their religion is taught, so they split off, okay? So the womanist movement, but like Sister Ottawa said, it even goes back even beyond this. But see, a lot of times we focus on things, and I'm so glad she brought that in, because I think a lot of times we focus very narrow and we act like America, what goes on in America is the world. That's it, you see. And I think a lot of times when we can expand our view of things, then it helps. I don't know. For me, it helps me to have understanding.
Well,
but, you know, you keep pushing the feminists, the black feminists, the black feminists, the black feminists, and it's like women have a right to think. They have a right to be concerned, have a right to take up issues that they, you know, feel impact them and their family, and to participate in life and to develop themselves without a man's permission.
Okay, I got you now, sister.
Well,
I mean, you explained it to me.
I just
want to
say,
what you're saying is, I want to make sure I get the understanding of what she just explained to me. So what you're basically saying is just the womanist movement. It's basically, you know, African-American, you know, females trying to better their community, their build their self-confidence and see their self-worth. Is that basically what you're saying, Dave?
And they focus on issues like oppression and racism that affected their whole family and community.
There you
go.
So
they differentiated themselves from the black feminists and the white. They knew that those issues that those people, those women were addressing, weren't. They didn't embrace that for themselves.
Okay, and see right there. See, you know, if I don't know something, I'm going to listen. So therefore, because I understood what you said, then I'm going to do my research on it so I can understand better. So thank you for explaining that to me. So I mean, I'll give you props for that. I did not know, so now I understand.
Put a link in the chat room. I put a link in the chat room to an article about the history of the womanist movement.
Okay, I'll check it out. But like I say, if I don't know, I don't know. But you just explained it to me. I got the understanding because I explained it to you back, and you agreed that, yeah, that's basically what you were saying. So no problem. I got you then.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for their participation. But, hey, it's 4:25. I got to get up out of here. But, of course, before I do, I always let y'all get y'all last words in. And we're going to go with the person that was the quietest for the longest. Sister Ottawa, your last words.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I don't know if you heard me, but Sojourner Truth was a part of the woman's suffrage. And the poem that she wrote about Ain't I a Woman was speaking to the fact that the group, the women's suffrage, was not addressing the issues of black women. So if you get a chance, go back and look at the poem, Ain't I a Woman.
Hmm.
So there was
right.
not, there was some issues. There was definitely some issues.
Hmm. All right.
Great point.
Great point, for sure. All right, Michael, you up.
Well, how you doing? Well, first of all, good show. See, we keep on, people say, I'm not black, I'm not white, but we keep on talking about black and white issues, and it's crazy. And when Mr. Goni just talked about the difference between women and feminists, now I understand what Dave is saying, and he's right. See, and now we want to say it's an African thing, this. In this country, when you're a woman and they pile laws for a woman, the violence thing, okay, I understand we have colors when you get to a woman, but when it came, it's like voting. Every woman, no matter whether you was black or white, you could vote, right? And the reason why all these movies, you can tie with all you want, okay,
And I know what Ms. Nagone and Ottawa are going and saying, this is a black sort of certain issues that black women have because they're a minority. But when you're a woman and you are black, you're a woman and you're in a minority, well, there's a lot of grants and benefits because you're more likely, I understand where they're coming from, you're more likely to be hindered. Okay, I understand that. But having said that, women issues, that unbalance, whether you want to talk about from feminist to womanism, there was an unbalance. And women looked and says, men are getting away with something, and we're not getting appreciated. Just stay on that fact. Don't go black and white women. Just look at all the women in ancient times. From ancient Egypt all the way from, it always said women was in a submissive role. That's just how it is. And if you don't look at that, that's the core, that unbalance right there, we will always have these conversations. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, sir. And go and get you some air now because you talked a long time. All right, Mike. Thank you. See you later. Oh, Lord. This is Miss Lady around. Miss Lady, you there?
Yes, I'm glad Sister Ngonya made the distinction, and I remember the poem, Ain't I a Woman, too. There's nothing new about people, taking over somebody else's agenda and program and turning it, twisting it, and making it into their own and getting rich off of it. That's never going to end. But I'd like to ask the question for next time. When men say, I don't have a problem with her doing this, I don't have a problem, to me, that's really not, that's basically what you're trying to do is still play a dominating role over a woman. And I would like to address, what does that statement really mean when a man says, well, I don't have a problem with her going to get an education. Why should you have a problem with it? And why is that even in a human being that, you know, has dreams and aspirations for herself outside of you? So that's just, that term has always bothered me, and I'd like to really get more discussion on what is that really about when a man says, I don't have a problem with her working, I don't have a problem with her going to school. That's almost like a parent talking to a child.
Are you addressing that to someone specific, Miss Lady? Oh, these are fine
words.
Yeah, these
final words.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
But I feel you, sister.
All
okay.
Right. Thank you, Miss Lady.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot both of y'all. All right. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Yeah. I can respond to that, you know, real quick. Okay. When maybe someone say that, okay, it's not like responding to a child or anything. And, you know, some people, you know, they take it and like, you know, hey, what's going on here? Because they might not understand. But because people say stuff like that, it's like, I would say something like that because someone getting a degree is mediocre to me. It's like I have way more important things to think about instead of a woman going to get a degree. Big deal. People get degrees every day. Chinese women get degrees. White women get degrees. Brazilian women get degrees. So it's kind of like, well, no big deal. Who cares? It's not important to me because guess what? I can sharpen my pencil, and that's more important.
All right. Well, once again, thank you, Dave, and we'll see you tomorrow. Whew, man, I tell you, another good one. And we had visitors today. I think me and my co-host are the only ones who noticed them, but we had visitors, co-host. Hope that was a good thing.
In the chat room asked me why they were here. I forget who it was, but someone else noticed in the chat room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, your final words, and tell them how they can get hold of you.
Well, my final words are that I enjoyed the conversation all week, and I'm so happy we have new callers with new ideas. And I think we have had a great time, you know, with raising ourselves up to obey the rules. We haven't had any knockdown drag out this week. Oh, it's so wonderful. I got real close. I was able to pull myself back.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And my email address, because I know you're going to ask me, is ngonea@yahoo.com. That's ngonea@yahoo.com. And if anyone cares to correspond, please put Mr. Talk Show on the subject line. I'd be happy to reply to you. And other than that, I'm looking forward to tomorrow where we summarize what we talked about and learned from each other this week. And that's what I like about learning different people's perspectives.
Amen. And once again, thank you for being such a wonderful co-host. And I can't wait for us to talk offline. But all right,
yes.
You have a good one.
I'm fine.
Okay, y'all, another great show, and I do appreciate everybody who participated today, everyone that was in the chat room that's gone, and those that stayed over time, and my switchboard, hey, I love y'all all, I really do, and because I know without y'all, I would not have a show at all. So, here's the deal. If you want to send a comment, suggestion, or whatever, you can send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com or stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Let's see. Tomorrow is Freedom Friday. Hey, as my co-host said, we rewind and recap all the things we talked about all week and introduce some new things to the mix also. So it depends on what y'all want to talk about. It's been a wonderful week, that's for sure. A lot of knowledge. And like she said, not a lot of argument. Yes. We getting them, co-hosts. They're learning. But anyway, let me give a shout-out to my sister's show. Leave here. Ebony Empress, she should be on the air now. Go and check out her show. Global Dating, Village Dating. Yeah, it's a good show also. Well, 2 p.m. tomorrow, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain. Keep smiling, show appreciation. Forgive with an open heart. Make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself, then... Oh, man, you're going to have a hard time dealing with life, that's for sure. All right, y'all. Until then, y'all go have some fun because I'm going to also. For me and my co-host, y'all have a good one. Good one. Y'all like that? Good one. We out of here.